privilege and an honor for Troy inviting my wife and I to be here with you this past month. It's been a great experience. Your hospitality, your friendship, it's just been very wonderful for us. And just the opportunity to spend the last day of 2017 with you is an honor and a privilege. Thank you so much for allowing us to be part of it. Steve and I were passing out the outline. There's something at the end of my talk today that I'd like for you guys to read. And so if you would, make sure you have a copy of that. It's something that we want to do together as a church family. So the song we've been singing at The King is Among Us, there's a section there called Holy Spirit Fire. And I want to talk about what that really means and what that could really impact you as a congregation and as a person this year. And so let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to sing and praise you. We thank you for the worship team that has allowed us to being able to lift our hands up, have the freedom to do that, and to be able to praise your name and ask you to come and be with us and celebrate with us and help us with our struggles as well as our future. As we come at the end of 2017, a lot of things have transpired. Positive things, negative things, tragic things, honorable things. They've been a part of our lives this past year. And we've been overcomers and have overcome that. And we know we have a future here with Connection Church, as well as a future with you. So Father, fill us with your Spirit. Let's be able to commune together. Let's be challenged by your word, but at the same time comforted by your word and by your love and your grace. That 2017 now is in the books. And after midnight tonight, we start 2018, a newness that we as Christians would understand because we are renewed every day because of your grace, because of your forgiveness, because of your love. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the song we've been singing, we said that we need your revival, Holy Spirit fire burning ever brighter in our souls. And we've been singing that all month. And it's an awesome part of that song that we come together and see what it means. And so we keep experiencing, we want to experience things. And so how do we look at it? Well, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has gathered his disciples together in a room. And he says, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples and apostles really didn't know what that meant. In fact, Jesus talked a lot, and they didn't know what he was talking about. And sometimes, even when we read the scriptures or we hear someone speak the scriptures, it takes a while for us to understand what's going on. You see, John was preaching that Jesus was coming and that people needed to redeem. They needed to seek his face and then they were baptized for it. And now Jesus is getting ready to impart the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and disciples. So we now move up to Acts chapter 2. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You ever been by a 50-mile-an-hour gust out here or a hurricane or a tornado? It just blows and it shakes everything. The foundation is shaken. You're shaken. And that's what I was experiencing to our apostles and disciples in that room. In verse 3, then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone was present but filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, there was a painting of this going on, and you can see the tongues of fire and everything else. Interesting that a lot of times we want to redo that in our lives. We want to have that tongues of fire in us so we can speak. But interesting, God put that in that special day because there were people from all over the world in Jerusalem. On Friday, I took a family from Switzerland that was visiting in Telluride, and they wanted to go to Vail, see if they can see more snow. Had 5 hours with this family from Switzerland. Now, fortunately, the father spoke English very well, so we were able to communicate. And I'm a little hoarse today because I talked for 5 hours helping them, because they'd never been in Colorado and they'd never been on the Western Slope. And so telling them about the history and everything else, the geography and stuff like that. And but other times he would be sitting there and I'd be explaining what's happening. All of a sudden he turned back to his wife and two kids and he spoke Swiss. Now, I don't speak Swiss. In fact, some people say I don't even speak English. But the whole thing is that he had to interpret what I was talking about to his family. Then yesterday I took a family from Alabama, from Crested Butte there, and I had to have interpretation too for the Southern government. Living in the Panhandle of Florida, I know the Alabamians speak a long time ago. But the whole thing is the process that sometimes we need interpretation of what's being said. And that is so important for us to realize that the day of Pentecost that we see was a time where the people were empowered, were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they were able to speak in all these languages because people from around the world were gathered in Jerusalem. And they were able to hear in their own language the gospel message. And that's so important because they talked about it as a family. And then when they traveled back to their home countries, they took the gospel message with them in their own language. And that's why it's so important that when we send out missionaries, when we go to different countries, that we are understanding their languages so we can communicate. That the movie Jesus, the Jesus Project that goes out, they're able to share in their own languages. And other times, just showing the movie creates a passion and a desire to know more what's going on. In fact, there's a member here of this church that's in Brazil, I believe, this weekend, showing the Jesus film. That's so awesome that this church is just global. It's not just local, it's global. It's awesome. And so by teaching and speaking and people understanding in their language, they're able to ask questions. They're able to think for themselves and understand who Jesus is. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues was a special miracle to demonstrate God's purpose in taking the gospel to all the nations. It enabled the church to be launched in all these places when these men returned to their homes. And that was an important time. But so many people are looking for signs still now, aren't we? We're looking and searching for signs to say, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? When is Jesus coming back? I mean, we hear this all the time. He's coming back in 2019 on January 32nd. Does January have a 32nd? No, it doesn't. But we profess that, and we all huddle around going, is that true? Is that true? Okay, I have a year and a half to get my life together. When John and Paul and Christ himself says, I come like a thief in the night. Be prepared. I can return today. Are you ready? That's how we should live. That Jesus could come right now. He doesn't want to hear me talk anymore. He could just come right now and say, Richard, you're done. We're going. You know, that's great. This whole process is that we keep looking for these signs and things just to verify that what we're doing or what we're hoping for. You see, in the New Testament, nowhere commands believers to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, since it is not an experience we are to seek, but God's action performed on the believer at the moment of salvation. Now, you can agree or disagree. That's fine. What I'm saying is that he gave the apostles the baptism of the fire so they could preach to all the nations at that point. But interesting, the next slide here, that we are, however, commanded to be filled with the Spirit, which means to be controlled by the Spirit. And so we need to seek to be filled with the Spirit so that we can love one another, that we can be graceful to other people, that we can accept people on his terms. Basically, I love you unconditionally. We spend so much time thinking about these other things, about being able to speak in different languages and speak in angelic languages to be able to heal and everything else. We focus on those things rather than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can, if God wants us to go heal people, to speak in different languages. That's His choice. But we spend so many times on these little things praying for those so we can be, what? Important? So that we can have something that we can show other people, like, look at me. I can heal. I can speak. I can do this. God wants us to be humble. He wants to use us and fill us with His Spirit so that we can touch people's lives. So we can love them unconditionally. So they can know what it means to have a relationship with the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We focus so much on those signs without focusing on our relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. People are watching us. They listen to the words that we say. We see the actions that we do. Are we loving? Are we kind? Are we compassionate? Do we want to live for Christ every day? Or do we just get up, oh, I'll do whatever I want to today? Or do we want to have a relationship that people see us living for Christ? Many times we're the only Jesus that people will ever see, meet, or hear. What's coming out of our mouths? What's our action like? Are we proclaiming Christ or our own selves? When I drive people from all around the world, it's interesting that they always ask, well, what do you do besides driving? And I say, well, I do about 10 things, you know. But one of them is I'm a minister. They go, so what does that mean? The people from Switzerland say, what is it? What's a minister? They heard of priests. They heard, oh, yeah, that little country of Switzerland. And so I got a chance to share a little bit what it means to be a minister, what it means to be a Christian. All these opportunities are there. And people aren't afraid when you say Jesus. They get nervous when you say, you got to come to my church. But interesting, people want to come to church. They want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to have a relationship with God. But most of them don't know how. And I shared last week that basically, there's over 50% now think that Christmas is just a commercial, secular celebration. But yet, I shared that so many artists, no matter from rap or whatever like that, they sing about Christmas. They sing about Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. Too many times we go through the motions of that. So we realize that, do you want the gift of speaking in tongues, or do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Scripturally, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we become Christ-like, that we can understand when we read God's Word, when we have people come in our lives that are hurting, that are looking for a direction, that the Spirit inside us allows us to have the words to speak to them and give them comfort. When I speak in the high schools and I talk about suicide and talk about other things, and I asked them, I said, I go into rooms and houses where people are there and I have to plan a funeral for a teenager or a 20-something. I said, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And she's like, you guys, you just sit there and stare at me. I said, you know, same here. When I go into a house or I meet them at the funeral home, I don't have any idea what I'm going to say. Because how can I say anything to fill that void that just now are feeling? But I pray before I go into that room saying, Lord, let your Spirit speak to me. Help me have the right words. And sometimes just tell me to shut up. All they need is someone to listen to them, hold their hand and hug them and give them comfort and say that, I love you. And give them hope. Too many times we look for those signs and we want to have those gifts so that we can do whatever. God chooses and gives us these special gifts that we have so that we can and share people's lives and build the body of Christ and to help you in the congregation and those people outside these walls to know that God loves them. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among ourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek to be filled with the Spirit so that you can make good choices and good decisions and that you are available for the opportunity to share. Interesting. Where is it in the Scripture that the pastor is the one that gets to share the gospel with everybody in the world? Can you find that? Can you quote it for me? At the end, when Jesus gets ready to leave, he says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Amen. That means all of us in this room. I've seen a 4-year-old bring her grandfather to the Lord. She climbed up in his lap, grabbed his little cheeks. They were too little, you know. But they grabbed the cheeks and said, "Grandpa, do you love Jesus? What are you going to say to your 4-year-old granddaughter?" You know? And he says, "Well, I don't know, Grandpa. You need to believe in Jesus. Because I want you in heaven with me." I'm sorry, I get teary just thinking about it. And he said, "Honey, I believe." Just loving people. Sharing your spirit inside you to other people opens the doors, and God gives us the opportunity to be a part of their lives. Even just for a second. But you're a part of their lives, and you open the doors for them to go and say, "I want to have that relationship with that God. I want to have and know what that love is. We live in such a crazy world. I want to have some peace in my life. Who is this Jesus? Who is this God?" You see, being filled with the Spirit is also called letting the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message," that was the Word about Christ, "in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." Interesting. There's a theme there about singing, isn't there? There's a theme about sharing God's Spirit with each other and having unity with the churches. It can be very divisive, can't they? Interesting, in the little community of Montrose, right, 25,000 or less, 65 churches. People get ticked off and they go start another one. Or a younger generation, the millennials, come and say, "The churches are dead here. We're going to start another one." In fact, in Joy Church over here, I know John Wickham very well. There were people from Montrose driving up to be a part of Joy Church. So now, starting in January, they're going to have a house church in Montrose. There's about 10 or 15 families that are gathering together because they look at the churches where they are and they go, "The churches are just there. And we want something to revive ourselves and be filled with the Holy Spirit and be able to minister to people. We're looking for that sign. We're looking for that perfect church, aren't we? Is there a perfect church out there? Sign me up. I want to be a member." No, I really don't. Because at the end, it's too perfect. But that's the whole process that we develop and understand. We need to have that relationship. You see, the fire on the day of Pentecost appeared in the form of tongues to symbolize God's holy power through the proclamation of his word, burning into people in a way that purifies them. So I love the fact that, you know, burn the impurities of our lives. Holy Spirit, cleanse us so that we can be holy before you and we can minister to those around us. We find that Pentecost signals the dawning of the age of the Holy Spirit. And the fullness of the Spirit in God's people is to empower them for witness to all nations. I don't know if you probably haven't told this before, but all of you are missionaries. Poof, just a missionary. Whether you like it or not, you're a missionary, okay? Because we are to proclaim Christ to the nations. That starts here, in this building, in Grand Junction, in Colorado, in the United States, and out to the world. People don't like to hear that because they don't feel gifted enough to speak. They don't feel a pattern in their lives that, I mean, I get to talk about God to my family and friends and co-workers. People shaking their boots with that because they don't feel worthy of it. But you know what? You were called by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and commissioned by Jesus Christ himself to go and make disciples. Now, I'm not asking you to stand on the street corner with a Bible and thump people as they go by and say, hey, I just preached to you. But how we live our lives. And everything we do or say, we do to the glory of God, or we don't. Now, I don't think God's up there with a report card checking off, like, man, hospitality, F, you know, just whatever, you know. He's not like that. But he wants to empower you. And we have to believe that we are a child of God. That we've been forgiven of our sins. Or do we want to go to heaven by ourselves? I don't care about those people over there. It's all about me. I think God's going to talk to you. And he's going to impact your life in multiple ways there. We need to have that. The day of Pentecost was a day that the Holy Spirit filled the lives of the believers and impacted their lives. You see, the meaning of Pentecost is God's equipping his church with the power of his Spirit so that he will be glorified among the nations. It's not always about us, is it? It's about those around us. It's about worshiping God. It's about being a part of his life, as he's a part of our lives. You see, we need to remember that our purpose as the Lord's church is not to focus on ourselves and our own happiness. That comes as we serve God, that we have joy in our lives. Is happiness always in our lives? You don't always feel happy, do we? But it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can have the joy in your life and not be happy. Because life sucks at times, doesn't it? And you've experienced that this past year. But it's the joy of the Lord that allows us to get through life. It gets through the obstacles in our lives. It allows us to realize that there's more to life than just my needs and my feelings, my desires. Interesting, as a psychotherapist, I talk to people all the time, and interesting, once I get them off themselves, focused in the mirror, and start reaching out to other people, all of a sudden they feel a joy, they feel happy, they feel content, they feel like they have purpose in life. And then they're easier to talk with about changing some of their habits that are making them depressed or wanting to leave their husband or whatever. Because they finally realize it's more about people rather than just themselves. We live in a very self-centered community. Our selfies just overtake ourselves all the time. I mean, it's always fun looking at people and like, oh, I got a selfie. You know, just the whole thing, you know. And I'm just as guilty as you guys, you know. It's part of life. But the whole thing is here is that we're so self-absorbed with how we look, how we do, and then Facebook, we talk about everything. Sometimes I'm embarrassed for the other people, what they put on the Facebook. I'm like, really? You're putting that on Facebook? Oh, man, I would never even think about that. But there it is for all eternity. You can delete it, but it's still out there in cyberspace. And it's interesting that we're so self-absorbed about our own happiness, about our own selves. And simply, the fire of the Holy Spirit puts life into us. It's so important for us to realize that the Holy Spirit is inside us. If we're a believer in Christ and we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you right now. But you have to believe that. We still cut ourselves so short of living for God continually for Him. We let things get in the way. We let things in our minds shortchange us. When I was young, I had a speaking impediment. And sometimes it still comes up to me and I just can't say certain words or I start to stutter again. And back then, they put marbles in my mouth. Put four or five marbles in my mouth and I had to say certain words. And if I could say them without stuttering, I got to lose the marbles. So the game is that I'm supposed to lose my marbles. Okay? But the whole process, the marbles on my tongue, in my mouth, were hopefully slowing my tongue down so I could speak without stuttering. And it came realness that my brother and I, we were living up in North Dakota, and just in middle school, and we're out there, and you know, we didn't know about freezing. Most of the time we lived in Southern California or Virginia, North Carolina, so we're always warm. And so we're up there in North Dakota, and everything freezes there, and especially skin to metal. My brother and I challenged each other for chin-ups. So we're doing chin-ups. Yeah, I got more than you. I get. All of a sudden, his bottle lip hit the bar. He goes, "Help me! I'm stuck!" And I went, "Hang in there. I'll go get help. Hurry!" So I'm running into the school. I go to the office where there was no teachers on the playground back then because everything was safe, right? Okay. And so we run into the school, and I go to the counter, and I'm going, "I'm not that, I'm not that." And they go, "What? My brother, my man." And I couldn't say it. I was stuttering so bad. And finally, I pointed out the window, like that Christmas story or whatever, you know. I pointed out the window, and they saw my brother. "Ah!" Doing this, you know. And so we all run out there, and we get about here to the wall, and all of a sudden he goes, "Eh." Rips the top part of his lower lip out. Yeah, just like in the movie Christmas Story, he's got a big band-aid across his face. You know, this whole process is that under stress, I couldn't speak. I couldn't help my brother because I couldn't speak. I also had an anger issue. And especially with being married at 18, dad at 19, stress and pressure goes on. And once in a while, I would just blow up. I never hit my wife, but I hurt our dog. Now you're going to be angry at me because I hurt a dog. I'm sorry. But after that happened, I just realized, Lord, I need help. I hurt my dog, but what would happen if I hurt my wife and my children? I need help. So God says, "I hear you. You're now proof a youth minister." And for 40 years, I had youth teenagers around me all the time. And people said, "You have so much patience." And, "Oh, the Lord taught me so much." What I'm saying is that we all have limitations. We all have places that we don't want to go. We feel inadequate to speak. We don't know how to approach somebody and just love on them. Because maybe in our lives, we don't feel loved by ourselves. We look in the mirror, we don't like who and what we see. But God looks at you. He looks past the skin. He looks past who you are. And he looks inside you and says, "I love that person I created. I love that person, male, female. And I have great opportunities for them to go, but they have to believe that I have called them to use their gifts and talents that I bestowed upon them through the Holy Spirit." You see, our purpose is to spread the knowledge of God to all the nations, beginning here in our town, our Jerusalem. We need to tell the world about Jesus. You may not be gifted to preach or to teach, but you've been gifted to love how you want to be loved. And that is so important in our lives. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. That's why sometimes as teenagers, we do stupid things to be accepted by our peers. But you know what? I met a lot of adults who are just older children. And they still want to be loved and to be accepted. And they will do things and get themselves in situations without thinking because they want to be accepted and loved. And God provides the love and the acceptance that we need. It's unconditional. We don't have to dress a certain way. We don't have to talk a certain way. God loves us unconditionally. You see, if we lose our outward focus with the overall purpose of God's glory, we have lost our reason for existence. We have an empty church building. You know, there's hundreds of churches that close their door every week because the people have not reached out to their community. We are a living organism. Christ is the head of the church. The Holy Spirit is like the nervous system from the back of the cortex running through the body. And what the head, the brain tells us, it goes out to our body, and that's where we function. Those of us that have experienced a sleepy hand or leg or foot, isn't that painful? And you really can't do anything with it. You can just shake your hand, wake up, wake up. And it takes a while for all that to get there. But the whole process is that we are a body, we are an organism, we are living. And the head tells us what to do. And Paul talks about that, the ear and the eye and everything else. You know, I don't want to be an eye today. I want to be an ear. No, today I want to be the tongue. Yeah. A lot of times I just want to be the muscles, you know. But this whole process is that we are a body. We're a functioning body. But every part of the body has a function to do. And when it doesn't do it, the body is not a whole body. So we need to strive to be together, work together, and understand that our purpose is to reach the community here with God's love, passion, and compassion. If we don't, we're going to have an empty church building. And we're just going to have to shut the doors and move on. Now sometimes the church is already dead inside with the people because they're just going through the motions. I've always been at this church. I will die at this church. And this is my seat, you better not sit in it. You know? I've been visiting a church before, and my wife and family, we sat in a pew, and all of a sudden, they went, that's our seats. Sorry, I didn't see your name card, did it? You know? Well, we get so in our habits that we have certain places we sit down, and if someone's sitting in a seat, we're like, oh no, what am I going to do? They're sitting in my seat. That's the holy seat. I don't know, you know? And we get like, what's going on? I may have to sit out in the center's pew, as they used to call it, in front row. I'm sorry, we were sitting there. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. But this whole process is that because we had all these altar calls and everything else, and they had to make room so all the sinners would come and sit in the front pew. When you fill a church, you have to fill the front pew, and we don't call it the center pew anymore. Talk about, thank you, pew. And other people, I know a guy, Tony Campolo, fantastic speaker, great youth guy, anything else. When he would speak, you would feel his words because the spit would fall in the front row. And Tony was speaking one time, and a bunch of youth guys thought it would be kind of cool, and they brought in umbrellas. And so Tony, he preached at a black church, and he just got into it, and he'd get to them like that, and they would open the umbrella. And they go, preach it, brother, you know, just like that. But we get all the stuff that you know, we get so excited. Remember the first time you really had a relationship with Jesus? What it did in your heart, your spirit? Why don't we have it now? Have we killed off the spirit in our lives? Have you shackled it to the point that it's there and it's not able to move? Have you put it in a closet and shut the door and locked the key and said, I don't want to feel that way anymore. I just want to go through the motions. You see, we sing in that verse and again. We need your revival. Holy Spirit fire burning ever brighter in our souls. You see, we need to be filled again with the Spirit. We need to seek that in our lives rather than speaking the gifts or whatever. We need to be filled with the Spirit so that we're able to do what God wants us to do. We need to submit ourselves to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to God, and say, fill me with your Spirit. Let me be available to you. Let me touch the lives I need to touch with. Interesting in that song, in the verses there, it says, you said, consecrate yourselves to me, and you will see amazing things. Interesting that when we submit ourselves to Christ and we are filled with His Spirit, there are amazing things. 4 years ago, I was working with the homeless there in Montrose. And I got a chance to go over to Denver, meet with Governor and other people, talking about homeless and feeding children. When I got back to Montrose, they contacted me by letter and said, would you be willing to be part of the Governor's Clergy Council? We want people of faith to meet with us and pray with the Governor so we can meet the needs of the people of Colorado. I never sought that out. I do talk about it. Because what a great opportunity. I've walked the halls of the mansion with Governor Hickenlooper and talked about the situations here in the Western Slope. And I'd be able to pray with him and pray for him. I told him, as long as we're not talking politics, we're good. When we're talking about the needs of the people of Colorado, I'm right there with you. And I've gotten to know him over the last 4 years as a person, not just as the governor, but as a person. His heart is heavy for what's happening in our culture. His heart is heavy about the people who have committed suicide. He hurts that children go hungry in the state of Colorado. He hurts that one out of three children in America and in our state don't live with their dad. And in the urban culture of Denver, Colorado Springs, two out of three children don't live with their dad. Just getting to know and allow the Holy Spirit to open the opportunities. You see, we need to consecrate ourselves to the point that use me. Allow me to just know that you are holy, God, and that I've been forgiven. And I will see amazing things in our lives around us. We need to let it begin with you. We need to let it begin with us. So revival starts with you. As you desire to purify your relationship with God, we need to seek His face. We need to sit there and say, fill me with your Spirit. Forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings and my excuses. Allow your fire to burn that so I'm alive for you and with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to ignite your cold hearts with a renewed passion for knowing God and burning off what the world has contaminated you with. You see, we need to say to ourselves, I need your revival, Holy Spirit fire, burning ever brighter in my soul. On the back of the handout, I want to spend some time on us concentrate ourselves to the Lord. Whether you've been a Christian for decades or you don't know Jesus yet, it's a time to get to know Christ. On the back says, God, I seek your face. I ask for your forgiveness for the things I have done and the things I haven't done for your kingdom. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. As you gave your life for mine and mankind, I now give you my life. Holy Spirit, I need your revival in my life. Holy Spirit, fire burning ever brighter in my soul. I want you to spend the next few minutes just concentrating on that. That you want to consecrate yourselves to God. You can kneel, you can close your eyes, you can lay on the floor, whatever. But I want you to spend the next few minutes, as we're closing out 2017 and getting ready for 2018, that this will be a renewal in your life and renewal for Connection Church to move forward, to be a light on the hill, to let people know that Connection Church means that we want to have you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it begins with me having a relationship with you. So the band's up here for a little bit, just going to pray. Play while you guys pray and spend some time with God. And then I'll close it out. So spend some time. Think about your relationship with Christ. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness if we need to have. Spend some time. Person in the mirror, I see a child of God. I see someone who's been forgiven, who has a purpose, who has the Holy Spirit living inside so that I can touch lives for you, to give hope to those that are hopeless, to give clothing and shelter for those who are needy, to speak up for the children who are abused and neglected, for our community to turn back to you. And it starts with me. If you've said that prayer, if you've been that opportunity, then that's why I put a sign there. Sign your name. When we sign something, it's more of a commitment than just a handshake, more than just reading it. But signing your name to that paper says, Lord, I am committing myself to you. I have consecrated myself before you. I believe in you. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can be who you've created me to be. You see that we need your revival. Holy Spirit fire burning ever brighter in our souls. Father, create in us an opportunity to live for you, to impact Connection Church, and to be real with you, and to be real with those around us. In Jesus' name, bless this church. Bless us. Prepare us for a fantastic, awesome 2018. Thank you for giving us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you.